Morning, everybody. I'm waiting for the stragglers at the back. Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning, a little bit crisp out, but still beautiful the same. We want to welcome everybody here, especially if you see some strangers and some people you don't know, make sure you go up and shake their hand and introduce yourself. We also have coffee in the morning after the service. And one announcement, the songs are not going to be what they are in the bulletin. Last night, Josh Vandekamp broke his leg, and Stacy was supposed to play today, but we have a fill-in with Nicole, so they had to change some of the songs that she was familiar to. So remember to keep Josh in our prayers, and our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. I don't know about you, but every time I sing in a choir, and even when you're down in the dumps and you go to choir or you come to church and you sing, by the end of the church service, you're uplifted. At least for me it is. I hope that it's the same for you. So without much more ado, let's have our first song.
Blessed be your name. to heaven and evermore will ring. At the end of the age, when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. For with wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who is slain for the shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. As the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who is slain for the world, ruling power. And the earth will reply, You shall.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, that King of all kings greets us this morning with these words. To those who are called, who are beloved in God the Father, and kept safe in Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Amen. As God has greeted us, take a moment to greet those around you.
Are willing to fill in on short notice. Good morning, how are you doing? Morning. Good, how are you doing? Good morning, how's it going? Good morning, how are you?
People of God, hear now God's will for our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3. Let's come to our God in a prayer of confession. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us of all our sins. Forgive us the sins of our youth and the sins of our age, the sins of our soul and the sins of our body, our secret and our whispering sins, our presumptuous and our careless sins, the sins we have done to please ourselves and the sins we have done to please others. Forgive us the sins that we know. And the sins that we do not know. Forgive them, O Lord. Forgive them all because of your great goodness through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's children say, Amen. We've confessed our sins. Hear now God's assurance of forgiveness. Christ is our peace. Those who are divided, he has made one. He has broken down all barriers of separation. By his death, he has built us up into one body with God. To all who repent and believe, he has promised reconciliation. So live, brothers and sisters, as people reconciled. Amen. Let's sing of that great hymn of our faith, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Careful.
How are you? How's everyone this morning? Oh, I got talking to the mic here. I'm glad you guys are doing well. You know what, today we're going to be reading a story with your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas about Abraham. Do you guys remember the story of Abraham? Yeah. Yeah, God called Abraham. He's like 75 years old, and God said, get up and go and leave everything. Go to somewhere I'm going to show you. Didn't even tell him where he was going. Think that would be a little scary? Yeah, that would be, wouldn't it? But did Abraham trust? Trust God? Were you guys that said you knew the story? Did he trust? Yeah? And he obeyed? Right? What's that song we know about trust and obey? What's that song called? Help us out, everyone. Trust and obey. That's right. Trust and obey. And I'm going to have everyone else help me with that refrain. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Christ Jesus. All right? That's the prayer that we have for all you guys today, okay? Trust and obey. So when you hear God's call, you trust and obey. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we are so thankful for these precious children here, part of your covenant family. And Lord God, just like you called Abraham, we know you'll call these children. And we pray that when you call, they will have their ears opened and they will trust and obey, even though it can be scary, knowing that to trust and obey is the best because you are drawing them closer and closer to you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's children say, amen. All right, I think you guys can go back to Sunday school. While the children are leaving, you can turn to our text, which is Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse 27. We'll read through chapter 12 up to verse 9. Before we read God's word, let's come to him for a prayer of illumination. Living God, help us to hear your word so clearly that we may truly understand it, and that by understanding we may truly believe it, and by believing that we will follow you in all faithfulness and obedience, that we too will trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Genesis 11, beginning at verse 27. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse.
and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you can't really preach on Genesis 12 without knowing what's going on in the last part of Genesis 11. The part that tells us that the last family that is supposed to know who God is and why he created this world has gone over to the dark side. Terah, Abram's father from the godly line of Seth, he's an idol worshiper. Like everyone else, he has exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and reptiles and animals. Now, if you're pinning your hopes on Abraham, listen to what our text says about his wife, Sarah, in Genesis 11, verse 30. Now, Sarai was barren. She had no children. Now, that's a little callous, isn't it? That's like saying, now the boy was an orphan. He had no parents. Brothers and sisters, God isn't trying to be callous here with these words. But he is trying to help us understand the hopelessness of the situation. This very real and painful barrenness of Sarah is an effective metaphor for hopelessness. The human race and human history has just hit a dead end. It's over. Spiritually, the last little candle has just flickered out. Maybe some of us here this morning can relate. What we're going through seems hopeless. How can the future hold anything good with this dark cloud hanging over our heads? Or maybe we've placed our hope in something else to avoid this unwanted feeling. Maybe we're counting on our own ability to succeed. Our studies, our career, our athletic prowess. Or maybe we're pinning our hopes on our beloved partner. Hope floats, after all. Well, if our hopes are floating on any of these things, I have some really sinking news for every single person here this morning. It doesn't matter how successful you are, how many people are following you on Instagram, how much money you have in the bank, how good looking you are, or how many goals you've scored in your local sports team. Your situation is utterly and completely hopeless, just like it was for Abraham. And here's why I say that. I say it because I heard it from a trustworthy source. A source who says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" That source, that person knew the answer to those questions. It's no good. It's no good for anyone to gain the whole world and then lose their very soul. That's hell. And it's synonymous with hopelessness. It's eternity with no chance of hope. And what can someone give in exchange for their own soul? Absolutely nothing. We are all spiritual orphans. We don't have any parents. We're homeless and hopeless. So what can any of us do? What in the world can any of us do? We can do nothing except this: to wait for the one who created the world to speak. Because when God speaks, brothers and sisters, hope floats. And that's exactly what happened in our text. God not only spoke, he called. He called an idolater named Abraham and told him to get up and go. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Now, this was a physical call for sure. God actually wanted Abram to leave everything. But maybe more importantly, this was a spiritual call. Get up and go, Abraham, and don't take those household idols with you. Follow me. Follow me, and I'll show you where to go. Can you imagine that? How would you respond if God spoke to you like that? We don't like to be told where to go, do we? In fact, the worst insult we can ever say to someone is, go to hell, isn't it? Well, here's the thing about God's call to Abraham. Actually, it's two things. God's call is absolutely necessary, and it's completely gracious. It's necessary because when God says to Abraham, and when he says to us, get up and go, he's basically saying, go away from hell. Get out of hell. Come, follow me. Now, some might say, what are you talking about? My life is no living hell. It's pretty good. I've got a decent job. I've got family and friends, a fair bit of stuff. What more could I ask for? What more? How about this? How about God himself? The one who decides our eternal destiny. How about a wonderful relationship with the creator of the very universe? The one who has eternal pleasures at his right hand? The one who is more beautiful and glorious than all the wonders of creation? Make no mistake, when God calls, he's offering himself. He's offering a chance for us to share in all of his glory and live at peace with him and with each other forever and ever. We would be a complete fool to turn him down. But here's the thing. None of us will ever respond to the call unless we first hear it. Unless we have ears to hear. Every single person has to hear the call of God personally. Unless that call of God comes in and disturbs us and convicts us and humbles us and shakes us up, then we're just going to be nice little idolaters, just like Abraham. Nice little idolaters. Everyone we know tends to take something created and worship it instead of worshiping the one true God. We're going to live for career or for family or fun, you name it. We are all going to live for something other than God unless the call of God comes into our lives, period. Period, but not end of story. Because the call of God is a completely gracious call. And it changes the story. The call of God changes everything. The call of God is so powerful. Not only do you have to have it or your life is a dead end, but it will radically change you. It will reorient you, putting you on the right path and showing you where to go. And listen up, everyone. Here is the good news that far exceeds the bad news. If God can call an idolater like Abram, who didn't deserve his grace, surely he can call you and me. Is he calling you right here this very morning? Maybe you're feeling a little bit disturbed right where you sit. Who is this God who thinks he can tell me that my life is a dead end apart from him? I don't think I like that very much. If that's happening to you, then awesome. That could be the beginning of something amazing. Every Christian has been there and done that. I'd say many Christians are probably still doing that, are still there and still doing that in many ways. I'm one of those types. I love God, but I don't like him a lot of the time. I've been fighting with God all my life, and I'm still fighting him. And I think the reason for that is that God's call is volitionally and totally radical. I say volitionally radical because God's call requires a surrender of our own will. Look at chapter 12, the beginning. And see just who is doing the willing around here. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." I think God's being pretty clear on whose will has to be done, isn't he? But we still hate that part, don't we? Because at the heart, the call of God is a surrender of the will. God doesn't say, "Go to these coordinates, take the 401, exit 94, and then turn right." He just tells Abram, "Get up, and I will tell you where to go. You just trust and obey." Now, here's how we often respond. "Okay, God, I'll go. But as long as this Christianity stuff doesn't cramp my style too much, as long as I can still keep this or that, as long as I can still do this or that," that's not really a surrender, is it? God's call is volitionally radical and also totally radical. There's no half-hearted devotion allowed when it comes to God. It's got to be all the way. Look at verse 31 of chapter 11 for a second. The whole group, Terah and Nahor and the children of Haran and Abram, they've all set out for Canaan. It says in verse 31, "Together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But they stopped at Haran." I wonder why. Maybe they didn't want to go any farther. That was it. They had been called to go to Canaan, but they stopped in Haran. You can almost picture Abraham having this conversation. "Well, you know, God, I've come halfway. This is as far as Daddy and everybody else wants to go. You know, Nahor and all the guys. I just can't get them to go any farther. They kind of like it here. What do you say? Halfway? Good enough?" For anyone in a relationship with God, you know the answer to that one, don't you? Hell no.
we won't go. We won't go back to hell. We've been there, done that. God's call is a call away from that hopeless place, and it's a call toward a gracious God. It's more and more of Him, not a Christmas and Easter sprinkling of Him. Not even half of Him, it's all or nothing. I think that's why the original Hebrew here doesn't say, actually literally say, leave your country. It actually says, go yourself out. God's response to Abraham's halfway suggestion, go yourself out. God's call is deeply personal. If you happen to have Christian parents, that's great. But every person, whether born into a Christian family or not, has to respond to God's call for themselves. At every infant baptism, we hear beautiful promises, but we also hear the words of expectation. We expect this child to respond to God's promises with love and trust. So hear God's word again for yourself this morning. Go yourself out. Go to the place that I will show you. And that place, people of God, is also a person. That trusted source I referred to earlier, the one who said, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" We know that person is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. He knew that for us, the answer to the question, what can we give in exchange for our soul, is nothing. But there is something He could give. He could give of Himself, of His own free will, for you and for me. But in order to pull that off, he would have to hear some horrible words. He would basically have to hear his own father say, "Go yourself out. Get yourself out of heaven and go to hell. Live the life they were supposed to live and take all their sin on you. It's the only way we'll get our image bearers back, my son." And Jesus said, "Your will be done, Father. Your will be done." As we've sung already this morning, Jesus descended to hell through that sacrifice on a cruel cross. And here's the thing. Some Christians believe that Jesus' death on the cross means that all of humanity's sins are forgiven. And I don't believe that for a minute. Because there is no way God would ever send anyone to hell if that were the case. But since we know that from Jesus' own words that some do end up in hell, that means that His sacrifice, though sufficient for everyone, is only applied to those who answer the call. And it's a call that goes out again this very morning. And if we reject it, the punishment remains on us. That's why I plead with you. If you're hearing the call, maybe for the first time, please respond to it. Don't second guess it. Don't reason it away. Just get up and go. Go straight into His loving arms and experience a peace and a joy that you've never experienced before. Will your life be a walk in the park from then on? Hardly. It'll probably even get harder. Just ask Abraham. But will it be worth it? Most definitely. Because the place that God always takes us is closer and closer to Him. And when we do become a child of God, that means we have Him as a father. When I mentioned earlier that I've been fighting with God all my life and still am, the fighting that I do now is totally different. Because before, I fought God as my enemy. Now I fight Him as an adoptive son, a child of God. And I know that my Heavenly Father is always right. But I still fight to get my own way every once in a while. And it never works out. I always come away from my scraps with God a little bit or a lot beat up. It's completely foolish, I know. Because I also know that when I let Him lead, then I start to see the missional call of God. And that's what I want to conclude with this morning. Christians are blessed for a purpose. We are blessed, like Abraham, to be a blessing. And God Himself is the promised land. Jesus is the reward. He's more than enough. He has to be. We find that out the more and more we surrender to His will. The more and more we really mean it when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." We always discover it's so much better than doing our own thing, don't we? We are blessed to be a blessing. I'll leave you with this final application. The call of God is radically missional. And here's what it looks like. We stop making decisions on the basis of what's the most comfortable for me? Where can I live, or what career can I pursue that would make me and my family most safe and comfortable? We stop doing that. And we start to listen. Listen for God's call in our lives. It may or may not be a call to move far away geographically. But it's usually a call that takes us out of our comfort zones to stretch us and to draw us closer to Him. This is what God is basically saying. If you're willing to get out, I'll make you a blessing. If you stay in safety, if you want to keep a tidy, manageable, comfortable little life, you're not going to be much good to anyone. People of God, our news is too good to keep to ourselves. We have good news that brings dead things to life. And if people reject it, that's on them. We don't have to worry about the results. We just need to be a blessing by sharing the blessing with others. It starts in your very own homes. It starts with all those children in the front that we made promises to at their baptisms. But from there, we go out in word and in deed until all nations of the earth are blessed just like we are. And all God's children say, amen. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your call. We are so thankful that when You speak, life happens. Your word brings good things to life, and Your word brings order out of chaos. Lord, I pray that You would give us all ears to hear Your call on our lives. May we respond to Your call, Lord, with trust. May we obey You, for we know there's no other way to be happier than with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would empower us to be the blessing that we were called to be. All for your glory and honor, so that your kingdom can come and your will can be done here on earth just as it already is in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite us all to stand for our song of response.
Skies into glorious day, only the splendor of Jesus. Who breathes his life into fists of clay, only the splendor of Jesus. Who shapes the valleys and brings the rain, only the splendor of Jesus. Who makes the desert to live again, only the splendor. Every nation his marvelous ways. Each generation shall sing his praise. He is wonderful, he is glorious, clothed in righteousness, full of tenderness. Come and worship him, he's the Prince of Life. Cleanse our hearts in his river of fire. Who hears the cry of the barren one? Only the mercy of Jesus. Who breaks the curse of the heart of stone? Only the mercy of Jesus. Who storms the prison and sets men free? Only Jesus, purchasing souls for eternity, only the mercy of Jesus. Teach every nation his marvelous ways. Each generation shall sing his praise. He is wonderful. Glorious, clothed in righteousness, full of tenderness. Come and worship him. He's the Prince of Life. He will cleanse our hearts in his river of fire. He is wonderful. He is glorious, clothed in righteousness, full of tenderness. Come and worship him. Of life, he will cleanse our hearts in his river of
Just a few announcements. I know Trish had shared this with us last week that she's going to Haiti and they're doing a pork fundraiser, pulled pork fundraiser, and that's Friday, October 19th at Covenant CRC. Hopefully some of us can go out there and help and support them. Also, I heard too that Danielle Bierman has chosen to get some procedures done and to have some surgery on the Mass. We need to remember them, keep them in our, keep the whole family in our prayers, and with the doctors and physicians and everything else too. Okay. Do we have any other announcements or anything we'd like to bring forward for prayer? James?
Lauren and I are leaving for Georgia tomorrow for 10 days to lead a spiritual life conference for a teaching plant clinic in Georgia. So if you guys can pray for us in preparation as well as our time there.
Okay. And you're heading off to Jordan, is that what? Tomorrow. Okay. Let's come to our Lord in a moment of prayer, or congregational prayer. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, you are our God, we bring our prayers to you. We know only you can answer what we are in need of. May we understand the answers you are so willing to give us. Give us minds and hearts to accept them. We come to you this morning, Lord, to praise you and thank you for your patience, your beauty, and your saving grace. Father, we praise you for the gift of your Son who died on the cross for our redemption. That gift was given so freely to us. Help us to accept your Son into our hearts. Help us in sharing the news that accepting your gift is for everyone. Lord, we confess that we fall short. We need your word to guide us, teach us, and mold us. Help your children here on earth to understand that our hearts need to be filled with you. Thank you for the changing seasons. Be with our farmers during this harvest season. Keep them safe. May we take the time to be amazed by your creation, the changing colors, the longer nights, the bounty you provide for us in this part of the world. Thank you for your care for us, for the way you bring people into our lives to love us. Thank you for families, for friends, for our church community, offering love and support. Lord, knowing you care for us, we confidently lift up those we love who are grieving. We ask for your comfort, your strength, and your guiding words and hand. Father, we are feeling such loss with our church family as we begin to heal. Lord, be with us. Lord, make us attentive to those needs. For those who have experienced recent losses, bring your peace to all. We know you will hold them in your arms. Lord, be with all those who face health challenges of various kinds. We hold up Minnie, we hold up Gil. We think of Joe, too, in the nursing home that he's, John had shared with us that he's failing, and the health challenges that they all face. Lord, be with Danielle as they go through a time now before she goes into surgery to prepare for that and be with the doctors and physicians and be with the whole family as they think and pray about those things as well, Lord. We pray for all those in the church who are struggling with ailments, with disease. Lord, be with all who are in need of your healing hand. Give them strength and your assurance. Be with the cadets this weekend as they are camping. Be with Josh Vandekamp as he's dealing with having a broken leg, and may that healing come quick to him as well, Lord. Lord, be with James and Lauren as they're heading off to Jordan. Be with them as they travel, and in their travels, may they be able to meet the people they are supposed to meet in their trips, and let them be a blessing to others, and bring your word to people that need it. Lord, be with us those who could not worship with us today because of ailments and challenges. Let your light shine wherever they worship today. Lord, be with us as we go through a change as a church here in Ingersoll. Give us openness to share our gifts and talents at this time to surge your church forward. Be with our plans as we renovate. Be with all our leadership and volunteers in this church. Give us your strength. Lord, guide our pastor search team as they go through the steps to find what we are in need of as a congregation. Lord, thank you for the programs that have started in the church. May they be a blessing and extension of your knowledge and love. Father, we pray for our church worldwide. Be with our missionaries who bring your word and light to those who don't know you. Encourage and empower the Wakativas, the Sardars, the Spans, as they continue to witness to those you have put before them. Remind us this week to do all we can to make our country a welcoming place. Remember that we see your face among the hungry and the homeless. Thank you that we are all your children and that you will never let us go. Father of life, we long for your coming. Equip us as a church to be agents of your kingdom, ambassadors of hope for this community and around the world. We pray this all in your name alone. Amen. We now have an opportunity to bring, are we doing offerings now? We usually do. Yes, we are. Sorry. We have a chance now to bring our offerings, and today's offering is for Woodstock Christian School tuition assistance.
Everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time for love, a time for hate, a time for peace. I swear it's not too late.
Let us pray. Lord, may you bless these offerings for our local expenses and ministry shares, as well as for Woodstock Christian School tuition assistance, which helps families with financial difficulty in meeting their tuition obligation. Amen.
I'd like to invite the serving elders forward. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper that we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. We come to have communion with this same Christ, who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us unto life eternal. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and foretaste of the feast of love, of which we will partake when his kingdom has fully come. When with unveiled faces we will behold him, made like unto him into his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so are we to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of the saints. Hear God's gracious invitation. The Lord's Supper is a gracious gift that God has provided to Christ's body, the church. All members of Christ's body are invited to participate as an act of faith and to come to the table of the Lord, discerning that this bread and cup are signs and seals of God's love for us, and discerning that we who participate are members of Christ and of each other. The gifts of God for the people of God.
hearts unto the Lord.
Lift up your hearts unto the Lord.
Lift up your hearts unto the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, take this little piece of bread and eat it. And as you eat it, remember and believe this is Christ's body given for you.
To the
lift up your hearts unto the
lift up your hearts unto the
sing alleluia
sing alleluia
sing alleluia
lift up your hearts unto the
lift up your hearts unto the
to the Lord.
Sing alleluia to the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, take this fruit of the vine, take it and drink it, and remember and believe that the precious blood of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was shed for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins, past, present, even future. Let's give our God thanks. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you not only proclaimed your word to us again this morning, reminded of us of our call, of our blessing, and our call to be a blessing to others. But then, Lord, on top of that, you have nourished us. You've nourished our weak faith here again at your table. Because, Lord, we often recognize that we fall short of surrendering our full lives and our will to you. Lord, we often lack courage when it comes to sharing our faith. And Lord, we repent of all of these things, but we look forward to the opportunities that you provide us, Lord, as we are reminded again at this table. We're reminded of a past event where you, Lord Jesus, died on the cross to take away all of our sins and the guilt of our sins. We're also nourished in the present, Lord God, to go forth with the good news in the power of your Holy Spirit. We also anticipate the future where you will hand us the elements physically in your physical body, your glorified body that we too will receive when you come again. Lord, we can't wait for that day, but until that time, we just give you thanks and we pray that you would help us to live a life of thanksgiving. I pray it all in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people say, amen. I'll ask you to stand as we profess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive God's parting blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And all God's people say, amen.
I will go.
finest bread.